Stephen Brunt, Sportsnet, alongside me.
I'm very excited about the Bills, by the way.
Well, we all saw that coming.
Right? That is the least Bills-like thing ever to happen in the history of the world.
Exactly. The most Bills-like thing would have been it would have been Andy Dalton to take the ball, have the entire open field in front of him, get to the 5-yard line, and drop the ball.
Well, that would also be the most Andy Dalton thing.
Be the most Andy Dalton
thing. Because Andy Dalton, the fact that it was the gritty Andy Dalton and the Bengals who pulled it off. Like I would have bet every nickel I have in that on the, what is it, 4th and 14 or whatever. I would have bet every cent I have and every cent I will ever have.
It will never happen again.
Against that outcome.
Oh, that will never happen again.
Nope.
Never.
So it's like the flip side of the Music City Miracle. So it was great. And all those people showing up at the airport to when the team flew home in the middle of the night, and you know the weather down there has been like, we've had horrible weather here. It's been worse down there. Yeah. They've had a horrible winter.
It's been a Trumpian winter.
That's how bad it's been. So God love those folks. So and they might, you know what? They might beat Jacksonville.
It's not out of the question.
No, Jacksonville's been a
Tyrod Taylor,
flat.
If they hang on to the ball.
Yep.
But yeah, and the whole Andy Dalton thing, you know, the Bills fans donating to his charity.
I love it.
And our friend Ben Wagner has already invited Andy Dalton to throw out the first pitch. And you know, he should do that.
Oh, absolutely.
He should throw out the first pitch at a Buffalo Bisons game.
Yep. Well, you know, it's the great story right there because, you know, everybody thought Marvin Lewis was going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Brown, the agent owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, shocks everybody the joke is that, you know, he thinks that they got in the playoffs. Right? There's all this great reaction and all this love for his team. He said, man, we're great. Andy Dalton, we're in the playoffs. Let's bring Marv back for another go around.
There's been some great lines out of it. One of the callers in the Bills post game show said that Andy Dalton is now the third most clutch quarterback in Bills history behind Kelly and Frank Reich. You know, yes. Put Andy Dalton in there, and of course there's the, you know, they should go and trade for Andy Dalton because of this. But anyhow, it'll be a lot of fun. You're right. There's absolutely, I mean, the Jaguars defense is awfully good.
Yep.
That's the only thing, but. You know what? If the weather's going to be weird, it looks like it's going to be weird for that game. I mean, they're talking about cold and possibly snow in Jacksonville tomorrow. wouldn't that be a Bills thing to have almost winter-like weather in Jacksonville and your playoff game down there?
Maybe it's the sign of the end times.
It could be. Well, there are many signs of the end times. Want to mention, by the way, that we've got 5 sets of passes to give out for you. Not necessarily you, Brunt, but to give out to callers for them and 3 guests to skate on the ice at the Air Canada Centre this Sunday at 1 o'clock with Shane Corson and Ken Reed. That's quite a line.
That is. There's got to be a punchline there somewhere.
There has to be a punchline, but I'm just not going to go there. And we've given away a pair of, we've given away 2 passes, so 2 sets of 4 in total to the 1st and 6th caller through. We'll give away a few, 3 more passes in the next hour. And the reason I was kind of searching for segue is Johnny Bauer celebration of life will be on Sportsnet today at 2, beginning at 2:30. I think the ceremony itself actually starts at 3. And Stephen, we had Joe Bowen on at the top of the hour. He will emcee the celebration of life. And, you know, we talked a little bit off air because I'd gone back to visit my mom this Christmas, and I kind of realized her and Johnny Bauer are the same age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned to Joe was it's something to see somebody that age who it's not that they're just not a burden, but that they can come in and command a room. Johnny Bauer would come into a room and still command it.
Yeah.
In his 90s.
Well, he's a nice guy. I know that's kind of self-evident, but
he was a genuine.
He was a really nice guy. Yeah, Johnny was a really nice man.
Yeah.
And like the time frame, you know, this is one of those ones. It's actually I was thinking about this the other day. The timing of, you know, if you're going to be celebrated when you pass on, timing is everything, right? And there's been mm-hmm. so there's been this kind of, you know, it's a season when people are, you know, before people go back to work, there's not a lot on the go, and you know, nobody equally famous died the next day, so there's been this kind of space for everybody to just sit back and appreciate Johnny Bauer because he's kind of had the stage to himself.
He's always had a sense of timing.
Well, you know, and he retired. I was heard his grandson on the radio today. You know, he retired 50 years ago. He last played a hockey game 50 years ago. As a kid, I remember him as the old guy, right? Like, I remember going to an open, we didn't have, you know, we certainly didn't have access or the money for Leafs tickets in those days. But they used to have an open practice every year at Christmas, mm-hmm. where you would go to Maple Leaf Gardens and watch the team practice, and they had a penalty shot contest, and you know, King Clancy would MC it, and you know, you could get in. It was like a Dominion store thing, so it cost $5 or something, and so you could go to Maple Leaf Gardens, sit wherever you wanted, and watch the magical Leafs come out in practice. And I remember doing that as a kid, right around the time. So it would have been just after that Stanley Cup, because Mihaljevic was on the team. I was there the year. I remember it was the suggestion later was that Punch Imlach let Frank Mihaljevic, ordered them to let him win the penalty shot contest.
Right.
Because, you know, because Frank was, you know, Imlach tortured Frank a lot of the time. And, right. and he thought this would be kind of good for his confidence. So he ordered him to win. So I remember watching, being at that when I was at several of them. But Bauer was always there. And, you know, he was, you know, he I was a kid and he was like my granddad then.
Right.
So this is in the 60s. You know, it's 2018. The time frame, you know, he had an entire life and career before the Leafs ever gave him his shot.
People don't realize. Numbers retired. I didn't know it was retired in Cleveland.
Yeah, he was part of that great Cleveland Barons team. I don't know if you know, but the Cleveland Challenge they talk about. The Stanley Cup was not an NHL trophy.
Right.
It was a Challenge Cup, Challenge Trophy for the Championship of Hockey. And so the NHL didn't control it. And they had a great team in Cleveland that he played on. One of those Cleveland Barons teams in the, I think it was 54. I'd have to look that up. And they were so dominant in the NHL. Remember, it's only six NHL teams, so everybody who's not in the NHL is playing there.
Right.
The depth of talent in that league is unbelievable. And they tried to challenge, trying to remember, was Detroit? I think it was Detroit or the Habs. Anyway, I got to go back. But they tried to challenge the Stanley Cup winner because it's a challenge trophy, right? And, you know, in the old days, like that's why the teams used to go out west and play the Seattle played for the right. Stanley Cup. You know, the Western Hockey League, the former Western Hockey League, those teams challenged for the Stanley Cup. And the Barons tried to mount a legal challenge so that to force them to let them play against the NHL champion for the Stanley Cup. And the NHL won that eventually. I think it actually, I don't know if it went to court or not.
Montreal won it that year.
There you go. but Johnny Bauer was part of one of those teams. But he's, you know, if you were buried in the minors, you can be buried in the minors forever. You know, that like they didn't, no one had to call you up. No one had an agent. You know, you had no leverage. So you could be just as good as some guy playing in the NHL, and you were buried in Cleveland and this guy, you know, Johnny played his, what would be an entire career before he ever got to the Leafs.
People forget that he didn't join the Leafs at 21.
No.
And sail through his career. It was the end of his career when he joined the Leafs. It's just that the end of his career went for another decade.
Well, that's right. And, you know, no one's still quite sure how old he was, right? It was always kind of a little vague. And, you know, so he and Sawchuk, you know, that was an old team, obviously, in 67. Mm-hmm. But the two of them especially, you know, seemed like ancients. And, but Johnny always had that, you know, he was for 50 years, he was kind of allowed to be the kind of blithe spirit of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He and King Clancy. You know, the other guy who got to play that role.
Mm-hmm.
So no one ever blamed him for the team losing. No one blamed him for Harold Ballard's, the dark years of Harold Ballard's ownership. No one blamed him for any of the other real-world disappointments that were attached to the Leafs. He was always kind of a fantasy figure.
He was probably, and I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you've been in these parts longer than I have. Has there been another Leaf as universally loved for as long as him? Now, I know, obviously, he's lived a long life, but even when this team stunk, you wanted to see Johnny Bauer.
The closest thing is Wendell.
Okay.
You know what? Because Wendell is universally beloved by Leafs fans. He's, you know, perceived as a guy who kind of held his head high when the team did not.
And he's returned the love, too.
And he's returned the love, and I think he's the closest thing. You know, Gilmore to a point. Mm-hmm. You know, Gilmore wasn't here as long as Wendell, but because Wendell started his career with the Leafs, as I say, was the best player on some bad teams, and you know, heart and soul guy, right? Mm-hmm. All of that stuff, played through injuries, fought when he had to, all of that Wendell stuff. I think he's the closest thing to Bauer.
Can you see him? I know this is kind of an unfair question, but let's hope Wendell's around for a long, long time. 80-year-old Wendell Clark, can you see him walking into a room and having people the same degree of respect as...
Yeah.
Because that's really what we're kind of talking
about. Well, and you know what? Similar guys, right?
Yeah.
Prairie guys.
Yeah.
Humble guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of straightforward people. You know, you come from that part of the world. You know what I'm talking about. And that's, and you know, really the, now of course, you know, in Bauer's era, they never made any money. Mm-hmm. You know, he always had, you know, people like, you keep hearing stories about, you know, different summer jobs he had. People, you know, would run into it the summer because he was running the, he ran the concession at the cottage where he had, at the lake where he had his cottage in Saskatchewan at one point, right? Like that, he ran the snack bar.
Well, one of my, I'm just, one of the story, I mean, Jamie Campbell tells a great story about Pierre Palat. Pierre Palat worked for Tim Hortons, delivering donuts. And the first time Jamie ran into him, and Jamie was working and at Timmy's, and this guy goes up and goes, "Are you Pierre Palat?" "Well, yes, I am." As a matter of fact, Hockey Hall of Fame defenseman Pierre Palat.
Well, because they, you know, they didn't make any dough; they made normal people kind of money, and they had to. Yeah, they needed a an off season job. So there's a humility to them. You know, Wendell came along in a different era, obviously, but I think, you know, there's a humility to Wendell that comes through. He for a guy who was a big star in a big city, he does not have any of that kind of swaggery stuff. And the same, you know, I say John Bauer was a humble, nice man, who, you know what, he had 8 sisters, 9 kids, you know, kind of a hardscrabble family, I think, grew up with not a lot, was grateful to play hockey. I say had this great second life with the Leafs, won cups, and then got to live the kind of perfect afterlife in a lot of ways, right? To be loved.
Yep.
That's, you know, that was mostly, that was kind of his job, was just hang around and have people love you.
Yep.
And they did.
A couple of other things we want to touch on. And again, we will carry the Johnny Bauer Celebration of Life on Sportsnet starting at 2:30. The ceremony itself at the Air Canada Center will be at 3. A couple of other things we wanted to touch on. One, and I said we don't have to talk CFL, but the fact is we now own part of the Argonauts.
Yes, that's right. We do.
We do. We're claiming ownership of the Argos.
I wouldn't have put my money in that, by the way, if I'd had a choice, but
stop it. Zach Collaros traded to the Saskatchewan Roughriders today for a 10th pick overall, which is the 10th pick actually comes in the second round, obviously in the CFL, first pick of the second round, whatever. Anyhow, 10th pick overall. Look, we know that Johnny Manziel's been cleared to play in the CFL. Is this an indication to you that Johnny Manziel will be with the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of things going on here. They're going to owe Collaros a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost, his last 12 starts in a row, I believe. You know, he's never really come back from the knee injury. Now, he might, but his confidence has never been the same since he blew out his knee. You know, when he blew out his knee, he looked like the best player in the league. He's never been close to that since. But they owe him a whack of dough. Jeremiah Mazzoli is a free agent. I think they like him, and I think they would try and now bring him back as well. But, I'd be shocked if Manziel's not coming. It just makes sense, right? The Ticats had 10 days to offer him a contract from when the league greenlit it, which was last week sometime. Even if he turns that contract down, they would retain his rights for a year. Mm-hmm. So he really kind of has to play in Hamilton if he wants to play, and unless they decide to trade his rights.
Right.
So, yeah, I would think you're looking at Jeremiah Mazzoli starting with Johnny Manziel backing him up going into next season, and then we'll see what happens. And, you know, I think for Collaros, it's probably the best alternative. Saskatchewan needs to kind of move on as well, right? Mm-hmm. They finished the year with Kevin Glenn playing quarterback.
Yeah.
They've got Brandon Bridge, the Canadian kid, but, Collaros is a good move for them probably, and a good chance for Collaros to kind of get his feet back under him. But, yeah, the Johnny Manziel era is coming. I think that's going to, I just want to see him play. Let's see.
Yeah. At this point, that's, I
know other guys have failed, you know, the kind of, you know, past his prelude thing, like, but, you know, Doug Flutie came up here. He didn't fail.
Yeah. So, Arch Leister did.
Yeah. He had other issues, you know, yeah, Tim Rosenbaugh and Vince Ferragamo and a bunch of guys, but let's see.
Yeah.
You know, he's certainly got the skill set to play here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. And I do take Randy Ambrosi and the CFL at their word that they have done their due diligence.
As best they can.
And then some.
Yeah,
as much as you can.
Look, he can still go off the rails.
You can't look in the guy's heart.
Nope.
And you just can't, let alone his head.
People go off the rails. So if that happens, it happens.
our friend Shai Davidi posted an FAQ.
Yes.
What is that, Travis? We don't call it a fact, do we? How do you call it? Blue Jays?
It's FAQ.
What does it stand for, Travis?
Frequently Asked Questions.
Oh, okay.
You should know that.
Well, I don't know. I just, FAQ, I just have a different, anyhow. Shai has written a FAQ on the Sportsnet website and the about the Jays off season, and the dominant question appears to be, seriously, dude, what the hell? According to Shai, who points out that, you know, yes, Blue Jays fans, the moves that we were thinking this team might make at the winter meetings, just after the winter meetings, sometime around Christmas, late in December, early in the new year, have not happened. Now, as Shai points out, what, four of the top 20 ranked free agents have signed? So yeah, 16 of them.
Nothing's happened.
Nothing's happening. We're hearing now, we heard today that Eric Hosmer, in fact, has been offered, reportedly offered a seven-year contract, not just by San Diego, but by the Kansas City Royals. And there seems to be some suggestion that perhaps he may end up re-signing in Kansas City. It's a weird market, isn't it? And I kind of take the other part. I talked to a couple of agents at the winter meeting, Stephen, and they said to me, you know, look, maybe it's not that teams are slow making offers. Maybe it's that you've got a lot of guys who've already made a lot of money. You know what? Players are just being pickier now. It's a lot easier to wait to sign your next contract when you made $14 million last year.
Well, I would like, one thing I would like to point out is that, of course, I believe these same Jays got pounded by some people for jumping in fast last year and signing Kendrys Morales, yes. Right? So I you kind of can't win perception-wise sometimes. And it's rather than just being Blue Jay-centric, you do have to take three steps back and kind of look at the larger picture in baseball. The same as, you know, same as last year when, you know, suddenly a bunch of guys, including Edwin Encarnacion, who we thought were going to be quick signings and get five-year deals and all that stuff, didn't happen. It markets change. And, you know, the complicating factor this time is the fire sale in Miami.
Yeah.
Right? So that, you know, which may not be over yet. But that, you know, the Giancarlo Stanton shoe had to drop. Mm-hmm. Various things have had to happen here. And, you know, really no one's done a whole lot yet. You know, so I think the Jays, they're like a lot of teams, right? We kind of, you know, we know what, you know, they made a couple of small moves for infielders who were potentially useful guys. They are still looking for a pitcher, and they're still looking for outfield help, and that's still out there because the, you know, the players we're talking about with you know, the one exception of Marcell Ozuna, and I'm not sure they were going to pay the price for Ozuna, and I don't think they're going to pay what the Marlins seem to want for Yelich. So it's not like the, you know, the all of their options have been swept up. None of them have, really. We're exactly where we were when the season ended in terms of the Blue Jays.
You know, one of the things that has kind of intrigued me, and it started to happen, and we saw it with Wade Davis signing. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe once Greg Holland falls off the table, because there are a lot of teams looking for bullpen help, I'm really beginning to think that we may see Roberto Osuna move before these teams report to camp in 6 weeks. Well, just a gut feeling, but there's all. Once Greg Holland's off the board, there are at least four teams that are looking for back of the bullpen help. And the beauty is they're not necessarily looking for a closer. They're looking for somebody who can close a setup. Roberto Osuna suddenly, man, he becomes a valuable commodity.
We talked about this, you know, back in the fall, right? That again, if you want to start talking about the Jays making trades and getting real value back, you know, we can talk about Donaldson, but it's interesting that the perception of what you can get for Donaldson seems to be dropping by the second.
Yes.
You know, that you're going to get one of those kind of, you know, kind of Roy Halladay returns, maybe, where everybody goes afterwards, hang on a second. But a year of Donaldson, the value of a year of Donaldson seems to be dropping.
Right.
But Roberto Osuna, who is controllable, and again, you hate to think about, okay, boy, you don't want to trade Roberto Osuna, and you don't. But if you want real value coming back, if you want guys who are major league ready, elite players, then the only two guys you can talk about right now are him and Marcus Stroman.
Yep.
That's just true.
And you cannot even entertain moving Marcus Stroman until Aaron Sanchez.
That's right. No, you can't. So no one's sitting here saying you must trade a Roberto Osuna or you want to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the question is always, well, what would come back?
Yep.
You know, it's all that's look, it's not desirable. He's young. He's controllable. He's really good. And you would have to replace him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's I agree with you that will be the one. I think that's more of a question than has been acknowledged, Jeff. Right? Because you don't hear, there's a lot of talk about Donaldson. But, you know, if you really look at the chips these guys have right now, that's the big one.
Yeah, I think he's, I came away from the winter meetings, you know, just sort of getting the pulse of what people around the team were saying and what other organizations were saying. And that's knowing that Marcus Stroman is off the table. That's the guy you kind of, you kind of heard it. You know, I mean, I have one general manager look at their roster and say, you know, he said, I would wait and I would move because, as he said, it's not the value. We talk about how much. I mean, the bullpen is such in a weird state right now because in their heart, most baseball people realize that the relievers are fungible, that mm-hmm. it's completely a crapshoot. But they also know that if you get a good guy and you got three of those guys in your bullpen, you can win a World Series like that. So they're overvalued, much against people's best instincts. Relievers are overvalued right now. And this guy's point was there are a lot of teams looking for. The idea now is let's have three guys who can pitch at the end of the game for us. And he said, if you wait it out, suddenly Roberto Osuna becomes an even more valuable guy.
And the thing is, you know, you can always add those guys too.
And you're going to get more for him than Josh Donaldson.
Oh, God, yeah. Because it's control, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
John Paul Morosi, MLB insider with the MLB Network, will join me. We'll get John's take on. Maybe I'll try to get him to move off the Josh Donaldson thing and focus a little more on Roberto Osuna. Mr. Brunt, thanks for doing this.
Pleasure.